Would you please turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Last week in chapter 1, we looked at a present relaxation. Today in chapter 2, a wonderful anticipation. Basically, what I'm going to be doing today is giving you a reason to believe that the rapture happens before the tribulation period begins. So let's pray and we'll look at that. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this word and this particular part of your word. And as we examine it, give us understanding and comfort our hearts as we look forward to Jesus' coming. Bless this study, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The year 2022. It's hard to believe, isn't it? A lot of us that grew up during the 1900s, the ancient history time, probably never thought we'd make it to the year 2000. Seemed like science fiction. Since then, there's been a big decline. Since 2000, there's been a big decline in church attendance. In the year 1999, only 19% of Americans attended church frequently. Now, there are better statistics for those who attended church occasionally, but for those like us who come two or three times on Sunday and Wednesday evening and other times as well for special events, for those who attended church frequently, only 19% of Americans in 1999. That declined over the next 20 years to the year 2019. And since the pandemic began, church attendance is down 25%. 25% of people who stopped coming since the beginning of the pandemic have not returned. Some have described this as a new dark ages. How dark is it? Is it dark enough to be the tribulation period? Are we there yet? This was the question that arose among the Thessalonians. And Paul had to write a letter to ease their minds. He brings up the subject of the rapture in verse 1 of chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. That's the rapture. It's reflective of what he taught the Thessalonians and recorded for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But then the Thessalonians received another letter with Paul's forged signature. They get this letter, and the letter is very disturbing. And some question, is this letter really from Paul? And someone in the group had a spirit and a word and confirmed, oh, yes, this letter is from Paul. But the letter said, the day of Christ is at hand. Verse 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, but not actually, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. They were shaken in mind. They were troubled by a spirit, a false spirit. They were troubled by a word that had been spoken that was in error. They were troubled by this letter as if it had come from Paul, and they were being deceived. They were troubled about the timing of the day of Christ. It's clear that in the first visit that Paul had with them, and in the first letter even that he wrote to them, that he indicated the rapture would happen before the tribulation period would begin. But now, they're being told they're in the tribulation period. Oh, it says the day of Christ. There are two questions we have to ask and answer at this point. What is the day of Christ, and what does it mean for that day of Christ to be at hand? Would you go to Romans chapter 2, beginning with verse 5? Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. In verses 5 and 6, he addresses unbelievers and says, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds." Then verse 7, he addresses believers, and again back to unbelievers in verses 8 and 9. Verse 8, "But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also to the Greek." Again in verse 12, he addresses unbelievers. "For as many as have sinned without law shall perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." Notice the parenthesis begins in verse 13 and ends at verse 15, which means verses 12 and 16 are connected together. And verse 16, he says, "In the day, the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." The day of Christ, the day in which God will judge people on earth by Jesus Christ. When does that take place? Would you go to Revelation chapter 5? Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, you'll note in the middle of the verse there's a book. This is a very significant book. And in the following verses, we're told that no one is worthy to open the book until we come to verse 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Verse 7, "And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." Chapter 6, verse 1, "And I saw when the Lamb opened the seals." That is the beginning of the day of Christ, when God shall judge the world by Jesus Christ. Now, the church is supposed to be faithful right up until the day of Christ. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." And verse 10, "That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without all offense till the day of Christ." When God says that he will perform a good work on us until the day of Jesus Christ, that is, of course, when the rapture happens. Thus, it is logical to say, until the day of Christ. Now, Paul could have said, until the rapture, or until our gathering together unto him. That would have referred to a single event that happens in a single point of time. But he said, until the day of Christ, which is a period of time. But think of it in this way. I could say, I'm going to work until New Year's Day. Or I could say, I'm going to work until 2023. Do both of those things say the same thing? New Year's Day, January 1, 2023. Single day. 2023 is a whole year. But when I say I'm going to work until 2023, means when 2023 comes, I'm done. So to say we are to be faithful until the day of Christ means right up until the day of Christ begins. Why do we no longer need to be sincere and without offense after the day of Christ begins? Because we won't be here during the day of Christ. The day of Christ is not an event that happens in a single moment of time. It begins in a single moment of time and then continues for 7 years. Paul made the point to them that the rapture would happen before the day of Christ. And he made that point in the first letter that he wrote to them, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." What's the very next thing? Verse 4. "But ye, brethren," do you see the contrast between "they" and "ye"? "They shall not escape, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." You know, that word "overtake," we could just as easily reverse the two words in the compound word and you would get the sense of the meaning. Take over. That day should take over you. The word "overtake" here means to take possession of, to take over your life. No, not you, brethren. They shall not escape, but you. You, brethren, you believers, you who are in Christ, you will escape because you're not of darkness. Verse 5, "You're all children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness." So while they don't escape, ye, brethren, will escape. You'll escape the day of Christ. You'll escape the darkness of the tribulation period. Thus, in 2 Thessalonians, for the Thessalonian believers to think that the day of Christ is at hand is for them to think that they did not escape, which is contrary to what Paul had told them. What happened? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, when it says, "As that the day of Christ is at hand," that word "at hand" means now, present. It's a verb. It's a perfect active indicative, which means it has already started and it is actively continuing. In other words, we're in it. But then Paul explains in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that they could not possibly be in the day of Christ because two things have to happen before the day of Christ can begin. Notice verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of Christ, in verse 2, shall not come except, number one, there come a falling away first, and number two, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Those two things have to happen before the day of Christ can come. Then Paul explains two things in verses 6 through 8. Notice. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, number one, until he be taken out of the way. Number two, and then shall that wicked be revealed. So there are two things he states have to happen before the tribulation period can begin, and then he explains two things. Notice the second of the two things. Verse 3, the man of sin be revealed. Verse 8, the wicked be revealed. Would you agree with me that those two things are the same thing? Seems rather obvious to me. The man of sin being revealed and the wicked being revealed. And the description of the wicked in the verses that follow, verses 9 and following, indicate that this is the man of sin, the Antichrist, in other words. So the man of sin being revealed and the wicked being revealed are exactly the same thing. So the second of each of these two things is the same. Would it then make sense for the first two of these things be the same? The falling away and the taking away. What is this taking away? Verse 6. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. I could make the statement like this. What is withholding the man of sin from being revealed? That's not a question. It's a statement. It's sort of like who's on first and what's on second. If you know what I'm referring to there. What is the withholder? What is withholding the man of sin? Let me simply put it this way. The church is what? Oh, you think things are bad in the world now? Are they? Anybody think things are great? Things are bad? You wait till the church is taken out of the world. Then what? There is, even though the church is getting weaker and weaker at doing its withholding, there is an impact on the world by the church being present. And then he says in verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That's why things are bad now. Even though the man of sin is not allowed to be revealed because of the presence of the church, the mystery of iniquity is already working to a degree. Verse 7, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. If the church is what? He is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides in the temple, the church, and only lets the mystery of iniquity work to a limited degree. So what withholdeth, and he lets. As long as the Holy Spirit resides on the earth in the temple of the church, the man of sin cannot be revealed. And thus the tribulation period cannot begin. And the mystery of iniquity can only work to a limited degree. But once the church leaves the earth and the residence of the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, the man of sin can be revealed and take over. Now, here's the clincher as far as the timing of all this is concerned. When will the man of sin be revealed? We go to Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel chapter 9, you recall in verses 26 through 24 through 27, God decreed a period of 490 years upon the nation of Israel. And in verse 25, he says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks." That's 483 years. "The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, after the first 7 weeks, Jerusalem is rebuilt, and then there's another 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off." That's the crucifixion. "But not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he, the prince that shall come, whose people destroy the city and sanctuary, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." This prince, whose people will destroy the city and the sanctuary, is the Antichrist. He will, at some future moment, make an agreement for 7 years to protect the nation of Israel. And at that moment, anybody that knows anything about this statement in Scripture will understand this is the man of sin. The man of sin will be revealed at the beginning of the 7 years of tribulation. And therefore, if the Holy Spirit's residence, the church, and the dwelling place of the glory of God is removed from the earth, taken out of the way, the church falls from the earth. That word falling away there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in every English translation up until the King James Version, it was translated departure. It would read like this, if I can find it. Well, I don't have it written out. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a departure first." That's what the word falling away means in this case. it goes along with the taking out of the way in verse 7. And when the restraining force is removed, when the church is taken out of the way, when the residence of the Holy Spirit, and thus the residence of the Holy Spirit, which is different than the universal presence of God. Remember how the glory of God came down and dwelt in the temple in the Old Testament and then was removed? The glory of God through the Holy Spirit has come down and indwelt the temple now in the church and will be removed. And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, then shall that wicked be revealed, and there will be a terrible time on earth. Thus our gathering together unto Christ would be when the church departs from the earth, resulting in the taking away of the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit and the removal of the restraining force, which is presently preventing the revealing of the man of sin. The Holy Spirit, through the church, is the one thing that prevents the Antichrist from revealing himself to the world. But once the church is gone, the man of sin can be revealed. And then, and only then, can the day of Christ come and be present on the earth. Therefore, the day of Christ could not possibly have been at hand in the day of the Thessalonians, and it cannot possibly be at hand now, because we're still here. But what about now, in light of all of that? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, here's what we do now. In light of what he has promised us for the future, here's what we do now. Stand fast. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But is it getting harder? What do we do in a world that promotes violence, that encourages rebellion, what do we do in a world when the government is full of lies? When churches are attacked, you know, just a weekend or two ago, there were some churches that had vulgarity spray painted on their building. There were churches where groups of people infiltrated into an active worship service and disrupted it. You say, well, that was that kind of church. It could happen here. Personally, I really never thought things would get this bad before the rapture. Anybody else feel like that? But now I'm convinced it could get worse. And so he says, stand fast. Don't give in. And don't give up. Hold, he says, hold the traditions. And that's a good word in the sense of what you have been taught from the Word of God. Don't change your doctrine because things are getting scary. Stick to what you believe. Maintain the same lifestyle which you have been taught, whether by word, that is through preaching, or our epistle. And so he says in verse 16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. That's our wonderful anticipation. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Stand fast. In other words, don't sell all your goods. Go out on a hilltop and sit there waiting for Jesus to come. That happened back in the 1840s. Somebody got it wrong, convinced a whole lot of Christians that Jesus was coming on a particular date. People actually sold all their goods. I don't know why they bothered to sell them, but they did. I don't know what they did with the money. They put on white robes. They went out on a hilltop. They sat there and they waited all day for Jesus to come. Now it's 180 years later. He still hasn't come. Go over to Luke chapter 19 and verse 13. Here's what Jesus told us to do. He says it in a parable, but the implication is clear. Luke chapter 19 and verse 13. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Be occupied in doing the things that I've told you to do. Keep busy. Do what needs to be done till I come. We want Jesus to come. I assume we all want Jesus to come. Are you looking forward to Jesus coming? We even want this world to be judged. How about that? But God has a plan. And we need to leave the timing of his plan up to him. So that no matter how bad things get here and now, while we are still here, it isn't the tribulation. Because we have to leave first. So in the meantime, we need to stand fast, keep God's word, do his work, and let him comfort our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the promise of Jesus coming again. Lord, he hasn't come yet, and we're still here, and things are getting kind of difficult in our world. We see what was normal passing from this world, never to be seen again. We face the possibility of some very difficult trials. Help us. Help us to stand fast till Jesus comes. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.